Welcome to Ever Beyond.
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 On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sour in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed you are. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and you're listening to Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio through Wolf Spirit Radio. Today is one of our end of the month, Sunday out of time kind of vibe things going on. And when you're out of time, you're in time space. And so we're gonna look at vibrations, frequencies, all of these things, but really what we're looking at is the ultimate healing of the human. And to do that, we may need to extend our sensory perceptions and using different studies and different faculties, different bands of energy to work on. So to that end, we have different bands of energy experts. And I'd like to first of all introduce my round table today. In clockwise direction is Debrielle from California, Barbara Threecrow, and Linda McCollum. And hopefully soon we'll have Shari Edwards when she remembers that we're online. And it's probably a time zone thing. She'll be probably an hour late. But anyway, Shari always has some very valuable information and gifts for us all. So without further ado, as I was saying in the pre-show, we all kind of know what we need. We all know what needs to happen. And in our way, we have our own perspectives and what we want to contribute and what our higher selves want to contribute, which is more to the point. That's why we're all here. We're looking at how do we bring the higher self into the great healing of humanity. So to that end, I just really like to step back and I'd like to start with Barbara, because you were just about to burst forth with someone and the show started. If you can remember where that sea ocean of information trickles through into our consciousness, would you like to begin? And then basically it's a free for all. Just jump in when you want. Try not to talk over everybody, but it's going to be exciting, I'm sure it is. So Barbara Threecrow, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, JP. Yes, an ocean of information. That's really wonderful concept, and it's so true. And I'm really honored to be here. Thank you. And also to be with Linda and Debrielle and Shari when she comes on. You know, these are wise women. And you asked us before we got on, do we mind being called grandmothers? And that is an honor, actually, and we're young grandmothers, we could say, young at heart. And I had mentioned that, well, over 30 years ago, I was given a vision and a prophecy about the times that we are in now, which was, the prophecy was about the return of the sacred feminine, but also the return of women to the teachings, the circle with the grandmother. So here we are, the grandmother speaking today. And it really is ancient wisdom that we're drawing upon. And that's why I'm so happy to be here with these women, because they are drawing upon their ancient wisdom that is within, and the grandmothers are speaking through them. So even though as age-wise, you know, we could say, yes, we're of grandmother's age, but it is the grandmothers, the ancestors, that are speaking through us today, and how important that is that we understand what this means, what timeline we are at, what we are, our fundamental nature, what really, who we are, and the capacity and the power and the gifts that we were all given. And I did listen to the last talk. JP, thank you for popping that in to me in the chat. I wanted to find out what all these women here with me today, what are they doing and what is this all about? Because the prophecy that I was given, as I said, was about the return of the sacred feminine. And it's not just about the sacred feminine, but here's why it's called the return of the sacred feminine, is because women were to lead the way in this timeline. And when I was told that, it was like women will lead the way to help all, our brothers especially, and sisters. And I said, why is this our job? Why do we have to do this? And Spirit said, because you can, and because you are givers of life, your innate nature is our healers, wise women, herbalists, mothers, daughters, sisters, grandmothers, and aunties to all. And because you are so deeply connected to the Mother Earth, and you were given this job. This was part of your agreement before you arrived here at this timeline. So this is about the healing of women, our sisters, so that they can all lead the way and stand side by side with our brothers. We all have the wound. We all carry a trauma, and it's generations. And I work mainly with this lifetime, although there are past wounds and trauma that we carry into this lifetime. And I do mostly work with women because that was the guidance, although I love working with men when they're willing. I have found that it's more difficult to get these men really to open up. And, of course, that's the programming that they have. It takes a great challenge and courage to go deeply into the dark places within us, the fear place, the trauma. And so this is mostly my work now for the past 30 years, given this vision. So it's wonderful and delightful to know the work, Linda and Gabrielle, that you are also doing, and I'm looking forward to our discussion today to find out how the grandmothers are guiding us and how significant that is and how important it is, especially really, really in this timeline. So I want to thank you all for being here and inviting me.
Well, I want to thank you for offering what you've said, because the whole time I felt shivers. I felt that those chills that let me know that not only Spirit is present, but that an opportunity is being given. And the opportunity is of wholeness. The separation we've all felt, we're culturally, genetically bred with the idea of separation, and we live in a 3D reality, which is the illusion of separation. And yet this very time is one of discovering the wholeness that we've always had simultaneously. And the heart opens when it's remembered. And probably the greatest thing that I've experienced, because I also work primarily with women and have done this work for 40 years, is that they know somewhere in them the capacity to love still lives. And when they actually go to their hearts and discover that that love never was harmed, is not wounded, is not scarred, is not limited, but was layered over, covered over with beliefs and laws and agreements. And now is the time to remove the wrappings and allow that love to be the truth, so they can be separate in the experience of humanity, knowing their whole simultaneously. So it's a privilege to be here.
Wow. Thank you both so much. I'm already crying, and it's only the start of the show.
It's going to be a two-hanky episode.
Oh, gosh. I'll just sit here and join you and and feel it all. Wow. Thank you. I don't know what to add. I totally am in agreement with both of you.
Well, I just want to say that I know when my body goes into chills that the truth is being
yes.
spoken. That's one thing for sure. And I feel this is such an amazing time that we're living in. And I know that we all agreed to return here at this time. And I think that's a key piece. It's not like, why am I here, or I don't want to be here, or this is an awful circumstance here. It is an agreement, which is a beautiful thing, to have agreed to be here and during this timeline. It's an amazing time of shift and transformation into what we call in the First Nations way is the fifth world, thousand years of peace, or the fifth hoop, and that we are leaving the fourth world of chaos. And it's difficult getting out of that fourth world because it's such a powerful energy. The frequency of chaos is really dragging many people back. And, of course, the fifth world or fifth hoop is about the age of enlightenment. And this is our time in this cycle on the medicine wheel of life to become the enlightened sacred beings that we originally were. And we've gone through many recycling experiences back here along the medicine wheel of life. And I feel that we've been in training. I know I've been in training. And it's been a long journey, but a beautiful journey. I don't regret one thing, but I must say that during the moment of these experiences, I regretted a lot. But looking back, you know how it is. You always say when you reflect back on something, there's an aha moment that you can say, oh, now I see, or now I understand all why that happened. It brought me to this moment in my time here on Earth. And here we are right now in this sacred circle, you know, and this is really all about returning to the sacred circles of the wise women. The wise woman, or the medicine woman, we call it, is within each one of us as women. And we were originally the peacekeepers, and we were the keepers of the waters and the medicine way. And we've sort of lost touch with that. And as you were saying, Linda, there's been a lot of what I call mud, muck, and mire that's covered a lot of our true nature or our fundamental nature, who we really truly are as sacred children, and the gifts that we were given, the abilities, for instance, to heal ourselves, the ability for communication without a telephone or without Skype, all these sacred gifts that we were given is ancient. It's not new. This is ancient wisdom that had been lost or taken from us, or new information was introduced to us, which really disallowed our nature to bloom, to grow, and, you know, where we could really spread our wings and become the enlightened beings.
I think one of the gifts that we have now, and actually,
oh, where's everybody gone?
Did Linda disappear?
Linda?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Suddenly you came in, and then everything went quiet. So, did you want to chip in there?
I just wanted to say, that I heard your wonderful, offering on the Lyran trauma, and in listening to that, talking about the original moment when we as humans experienced separation, and it was a shock, and it happened to have had the experience of sudden violence. And as I went there and had my own very wonderful personal experience of healing, what I wanted to share is that every person I have ever met has suffered from trauma of some kind. And usually the trauma is the shock of the unexpected, the sense of no power, the fear of death, the terror that they have no resources to be all right. And yet, they're here again. They come again. And it's important for us to know that we have died many times, in many ways, that we have been the tyrant and we have been the victim. We have been the rescuer.
Linda, we're losing you.
Welcome. So, I just want to sort of embed you as quickly as we can. We have Debrielle. We have Linda McCullough.
Did you lose me again?
Yeah, we've got you now. That's what's important. We have Barbara Threecrow, Linda McCallum, Debrielle, and now Shari Edwards. And so we've been talking about the healing the trauma of the world. This is the grandmother's revolution. This is the grandmother's awakening. So to that end, that's why you're all here. This is the grandmother's, not the beginning of the grandmother's revolution. I don't want to claim anything like that, but this is a kind of planning meeting or
we've been around a long time, we grandmothers.
Yeah. So really, as long as you're all in real time with each other on the call, we can take it from here. So, I think it was, Barbara was in mid flow before things, got crunchy. So do you want to continue your flow, Barbara, and then see where it goes?
Oh, thank you. Well, I think that, Linda was talking and, talking about the trauma and, and she did say that everyone she works with, has experienced trauma, and I totally agree. And I feel that it's very, it's generational, of course. It's been passed through generations. And,
yes.
And I've realized that, it's very deep, and it's really, I guess I would say it's really covered up our fundamental nature, which is a sacred being, one of joy, one of unconditional love, a fearless being, creative, freely creative, without fear. And all of these gifts that we were given have been really lost to us on some level, but they are within us. They're deeply embedded within us. And our job, I feel my job, is to uncover that and help the person uncover that to come into their full bloom and who they are really meant to be. So that's just, I just offer that.
First of all, let me just say there's so much energy here that's part of what the disturbance is and the frequency. But my point about trauma and that the people that I deal with most suffer from traumas that have left them with a feeling that at any moment something terrible could happen. And they have become hypervigilant trying to search for the place where it could come from and therefore putting their focus on it and therefore worrying about it and using their adrenals to constantly keep them in a place of up until they're exhausted. I believe that this time, which is this incredible, powerful time, an ascension time of awakening, is to help them to know that right now, in this moment, they have resources they never knew. And they'll never run out of these resources because there's no way to limit these resources. It's their source. It's their spirit, and it's there for them. And to help them to know they're not alone, and within them, in the spaciousness of all possibility, is their spirit now to guide them now, not harmed, not limited. And the traumas then they can become aware of and begin to heal rather than believe that they are limited, impotent, and harm beyond repair from the memories and stories they carry as the truth of their being. Lay them down and begin to heal.
I think that, I totally agree with you, Linda, with that. I do believe that, you know, there are many modalities, different language that we're using, but I believe we're really all being guided from the same source. And different wording or languages that we choose to use, but we're really on the same page. And we're in that flow from source, I do believe. And to me, the source I call is the great mother, father, creator. I say mother, father, because I believe that everything is the feminine, masculine. All of creation is that way. So why not the original creator? Is that to me. And I agree with you. This thing I call waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, that looking over your shoulder, for instance, anxiety, living with anxiety and fear, seems to be prevalent with a lot of people. And that people say, you know, that term, well, they're waiting for the shoe to drop, or, you know, the worst thing to happen, or the worst case scenario. And this is, I believe, one of the pieces, the sticking points that people live with, that constant anxiety and worry and fear. And I know that this is programming, and I call this, I've really come to call this a level of brainwashing. It's not just patterning and programming. It is on the level of a brainwashing. And you know, when you're brainwashed, you can't just say, well, I'll just stop thinking that way. You have to really find the program. It's like a computer. If you want to introduce a new program into the computer, you have to find the old program. Then you have to deprogram the old program, and then you have to introduce a new program. So this is pretty much the system of functional healing, nurturing of oneself, and identifying the pieces to the puzzle, but also the one piece that is so important, or pieces of ourself, are the, what I call the feminine warrior or the masculine warrior within us, and also that sacred self, the sacred being within us, if you want to call it the soul, irregardless of what you call it, identifying those pieces. Because if you're listening, if you're there listening to us, and you can say, gee, I've had anxiety all of my life, for I've been in fear and so on, and I don't feel safe, I don't experience inner peace, then you're still here. So there's something about you that has brought you here to this sacred circle of us grandmothers here, bringing the wisdom in from the ancient ones. So there's something powerful within you, within everyone, really. And I help people to identify that piece as well as the other part, the other aspect that has been trained, pretty much brainwashed, to believe that they are powerless, that they're not good enough, that they're a sinner, or there's something wrong with them. So I just wanted to add that piece.
So, Sherry, is that you crackling? Who's crackling? Somebody's got a crunchy mic.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, your mic's a bit crap. I'm going to have to send you one, aren't I? So, sweetheart, it's lovely to have you.
My mic is crackling. I'm sitting perfectly still.
All right. So maybe not yours. Somebody had a very crunchy intro. Anyway, welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
Here you are with I hope you've been tuning in with what's been going on the last few minutes, but I know that you've been sitting there thinking, well, I know the key to all of this.
No, not quite. I've been thinking, I wish I could hear more of this because it's going off and on. But there's a thing about what I do with voice analysis and all that. Nobody needs that. It's really innate within us. If we could breathe in the perfect energy, if we could just absorb universal energy, if we had faith in ourselves that we could fix ourselves or be optimal that way. I don't know if we need fixed, because sometimes we just need the lessons. But I offer tools and solutions to people that they can manipulate with their fingers, and they can see that's very concrete, because I think without options, people are not going to change. And I think people are on the verge of wanting to be set free of all the things that are keeping them down. Bad food, bad thoughts, bad politics, bad sex, bad, you know, whatever people are putting a negative spin on. And I tried it with my staff the other day. I said everything you're going to say, let's put a positive spin on it today. I actually got the giggles about some of the stuff that they were trying to say. Because they caught themselves being negative, and I believe we program ourselves. I had that slapped me in the face recently. I had I don't know if you call it a sabotage. A group of the employees were taking money through payroll, and they had to be fired. And I was very devastated by that. And because I'd helped them pay rent, I'd helped one lady keep her cat alive, and I hadn't asked for any of the money back, yet they were taking money through payroll. And I said, this just breaks my heart. And the next thing I know, I have a valve in my heart not working. So I programmed myself into that, and I knew if I programmed myself into it, I could program myself out of it. But not everybody has the faith that they can do that, or the time, or the energy to do it. So I just turn around and offer really quick computer programs. Like we're offering, this month, we're offering PTSD. And we started out with the soldiers, but we had such incredible letters from people who had been raped and robbed and shot and beat up. And there's so many ways that people can experience this post-traumatic stress disorder from the things that are happening to them in our fast-paced world that people aren't able to cope with, like Barbara was saying, to teach them to go inside and find their peace, their grace, to be able to do that. A lot of people can do it on their own and with meditation, but I just give people a shortcut with a computer program that tells them what frequency they need, what nutrient they need. So for the month of August, we are giving away PTSD software, tutorial programs, instructional videos, and textbooks to anybody who has claims. I don't want to make it negative and say just because they claim it. We might as well say we're just giving it to everybody. But we're giving away all of that along with a two-day workshop. They don't have to attend the workshop to get all the rest of it, but they can actually start a business. And Wounded Warriors got in touch with us last week, and they are going to offer this to their people, which I think is absolutely incredible. Because we did a project with the Army in 2010 with PTSD, and found out that there's 8 nutrients and 9 proteins, brain proteins, that are associated with PTSD. And if we can help people eliminate those, balance them, turn them around, then I think people could cope better. And it's not that people are good or bad because of what's in their voice. It's what you do about it that makes the difference. And that's what we want to help with.
That's a beautiful contribution, Sherry. I mean, I'm dealing with post-traumatic stress emotionally with people, where their traumas have gotten them to instantly perceive what's happening to be another version. And what I work on is to help them to know they are creators. And whatever they're focused on, whether it's their fear focus or their gratitude, appreciation focus for what they do have, whatever that is, their environment is going to start to change, and they are going to realize resources. But it takes an awareness that you are that resource to be able to counter the programming, to be able to do that. So your contribution is spectacular. Barbara's contribution, Dabriel's contribution, everybody who can in any way help people know that through their awareness and a developing presence, they can make choices which wind up chemically affecting their bodies, their cells, their DNA, and give them the beginning knowledge of who they really are, as opposed to just living the creation instead of also the creator.
We try to give them the way to provide them the energy to carry out what they know they
essential.
Want. So
great, great.
It's a great way to do it.
I'm... Can, I, this, go ahead.
I was just going to ask JP to put up the link to where people can download all this stuff.
Can you do that on the show? You send that to me, and I'll put that in the chat room.
I sent it to you this morning.
Yes, I know. And I'll just put that in the chat room right now. There we go. Information Central one, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's all PTSD.
Yes.
I did a show, I don't know if you managed to hear it, Shari, but, Linda was talking about it just earlier. And it kind of went back all the way to the beginning of human experiences, or one of the very early human experiences that actually kind of created time space in a way. yeah, it's a long story. It takes us back to the first time that we are shocked and Linda, you put it so perfectly earlier. All of the things that all of your patients have come to you about, they're all the same thing.
Yes.
And it's, we didn't know what we didn't know we didn't know.
Exactly.
And the thing that we didn't know is that at some point we were, our brothers and sisters on other planets were destroyed instantly. It was a holocaust. It was the most traumatic thing you could imagine to a telepathic race that existed on like 9 or 10 planets, that 4 of them were destroyed, including all the people, and you could feel all the anguish. And that is the trauma. That's the 9/11 that began 9/11s.
And but you know, it's interesting.
Hey.
I was going to say, it's interesting that when I first started doing this work that was being downloaded to me, this healing process, which I call core methodology, I became aware that everyone that I worked with, it didn't matter the age, it didn't matter their background, they all had the same core programs. And I was thinking, this is really amazing to me. Everyone has the same core issues. And I thought, wow, this must be a conspiracy. You know, of course, how could everybody, doesn't matter where they came from or what their background was, they have pretty much the same core issues. And one of them, the top one, was, I am not lovable. This was a very key one with pretty much everyone. I would say the majority, a great percentage of people that I work with have this, even men also. I am not lovable. And I will be abandoned no matter what. And this piece that you just mentioned, JP, about the Holocaust in the cosmic experience is sort of like, to me, very interesting, because I was going to say that when we are born here, when we came from Source, whether it be one of the cosmic systems or directly from Source as a soul, and we come here into this realm, into this earth realm, it's sort of like a trauma, because we are sacred and we've just come from the purest, most divine place. And then we come into this realm, depending on, of course, your age. I came in 1942 during the World War II. And I know that I had a past life in that war and had been killed. And then I came through again then in 1942. And I was in trauma. I was experiencing the trauma of this timeline. And also the realization when I hit into here and came into an alcoholic family that it was a dysfunctional family. And I was not recognized as a sacred child. That was very dramatic, very traumatic. And, so it's issues like that that I think that, that we have to also look at, right?
When people say that, or when you say you don't, people think they aren't lovable, I'm really having a definition crisis in this present day world. I hear people saying, love you, when they're hanging up the phone, love you, love you. What does that really mean? Love and lovable. What are people looking for?
Well, I think the programming is that I am not a lovable person. There's something wrong with me. I don't deserve. It's the deserving issue. I don't deserve love. And therefore, of course, the beginning trauma of their time gives them information that they perceive from a very limited perspective. Of course, as a child, we're very limited, but we begin to believe that there's something wrong with us because the people that we rely upon, let's say mother, father, they are our first, circle of people. They are the ones we completely depend upon and rely upon to keep us safe, to nurture us, to build our foundation. And if they are out of balance and if they have been wounded and carry trauma, they're unable to basically build that foundation that would give us the sense of self, the sense of safety and security, in the sense that we are deserving and loving, lovable. So that's usually it's the deserving. I don't deserve. There's something wrong with me is what I hear people say.
I have something I'd like to contribute here. I see this and I understand what you're saying, and most people have this as a core issue, which is one of the reasons why they're so ambitious and driven, or sexuality is such a strong thing, being desired, all of these things we know in our culture. But there's a deeper issue, and part of it is the time we're born into right now. The time we're born in right now is the rupture, the ending of separation, the beginning and birthing of wholeness, of what I do to you, I do to another. What I do to myself, I do to all. So understanding this, we are sometimes through the crisis of our suffering, either dying from disease and mental illness, or awakening. And the awakening is as we begin to experience wholeness and know there is a deeper order, and the idea of measuring value is impossible. How would you measure the value of a spirit who is taking one form or another? You can't. You can only measure learning. You can only measure how the person is dealing with utilizing the stress, the friction, and alchemically changing, turning the lead into gold, turning fear into enlightenment. This is the time we're in. This is why every person's contribution really matters. It isn't that we ever get safe in the body, absolutely. It's that we know no matter what happens, we're always loved. We're always whole, and our resources are truly unlimited, but we have to change to be able to know that. And it's through the heart. It's through love. That's the only way there is for me.
So you're bringing this from yourself and not
yes.
from the outside in?
Exactly.
I've been struggling with this for a few years. What love really means? Is it appreciation? Is it caring? Is it forgiveness? Is it, word mean?
My teacher, Rampa, said something that was so magnificent. He said, when wisdom is gained, forgiveness is automatic. What it means is as we begin to realize that the strife and the struggles and the pain and the traumas that we went through were experiences of separation from our spirit. That's what they were about. We believe we were cut off for one reason or another. I always felt I had to be perfect in order to gain the favor of God or to know love or to be worthy. Well, since I couldn't achieve perfection, I was in a lot of stress. A lot of people are like that. The way it healed for me is healing for me, I humbly say. The way it is healing for me is I am realizing this was my opportunity to know that process is a polarized process that can never be satisfied. The love that is the interconnecting web of consciousness vibrates love and wholeness and spaciousness and is the greater part of every person, every life form. So you can't be without love, but you can be with the belief that there are so many things you have to do to know it that you're taken down. And the trauma is great. Or you can rise up and you can begin to know that what lives within you will guide you into the awareness of possibility.
Well, I agree. I think that it is the coming to know the light and the love that is already within you. And this is the issue that people struggle with, is that truth, because there has been so many generations of wrong information or lies, you know, for instance, that tell us who we are or what we are not. And it is the divine self, the sacred one that we really truly are, or the spirit, the divine soul within us, that I feel is really linked to the source of unconditional love. And to me, there's a difference between love and unconditional love. I think we're all caught up with the love thing. You know, people kill for love, people die from love, or I will die without your love, and all these songs that we hear when we were growing up. I don't know if it's still happening today, but love is a big theme, of course, which is kind of an interesting thing. It's a four-letter word, L-O-V-E, which if you shift it around and change it a little bit and add another, it could be evolve. But so love is huge, but unconditional love is a whole other story. Unconditional, meaning there is no condition. You just have love. Your heart is filled with love. You are love. And there's no conditioning. You know, I will love you if you do this, or I won't love you if you do that. So to me, there's two things that we're looking at here. I feel that we are loved unconditionally by the Creator, Mother, Father. And I feel that that is a goal that we are meant to achieve, is unconditional love. But we must love ourselves unconditionally before we can really love unconditionally. That's my feeling.
That love doesn't work any other way, actually.
No, not at all. Yeah.
There was an instance here in our courtroom, two people getting a divorce, two sides of the courtroom, two double doors in the back. The divorce was over. They start out the doors. They get outside in the hallway, and the man puts six bullets in the woman's face. And, of course, she's dead. And he walks over to the deputies and said, "Tell her if she comes too. Tell her I love her." Uh-huh. That to me is bizarre. I don't think you deliberately want to hurt people you love. But that man really thought that. Is there some kind of distortion going on in the world someplace?
A very big distortion.
Well, that's programming. That's the confusion of sex and death.
That's exactly it. That's the wrong, definitely. People are programmed about what love is. So they don't really understand or understand love. And people are looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, if you don't really have unconditional love for yourself, love for yourself and accept yourself, that you are perfect in every way. And we're all growing. We all have the opportunity to make choices. But if you don't have that foundation, then you will be looking for love in all the wrong places. You will be depending on someone else to give you something or love you or make life good for you or better for you and so on. And that's what gets you into trouble in relationships.
Gabrielle, are you still here?
Yeah, I was just waiting.
I'm coming for you, honey.
Okay. I know, I'm a little quieter, and I'm like the emotional one here, or the feeler, and I wanted to share something. I agree with what everyone's saying. Yesterday morning, and probably because I knew I was going to be on here, I woke up with like a feeling or a vision, and I spoke about it a little bit on the show before this, but what was coming in, and I can see it when I close my eyes right now, is this wave, and I'm feeling... I just feel everyone, and myself is included in this, that it's like a mirage we're entering in. It's always been this way, but we perceived it as solid, and it's becoming more wave-like. And then a Rumi quote came in, which I posted this morning, because it was like a balance between holding on and letting go, and that most people, it's this expansion in your heart, which I started to feel about a year ago, where you're in love, but there's no outer reason, and it just keeps expanding, and you can't be constricted. It's very hard to stay constricted, And then what I feel with most people, they desire this, and they see things changing, and they're scared, and they just want to know that they're not alone, like I think Linda said, and that it'll be okay. And we first have to tell ourselves that, and then get to the space where we can stay open and not keep constricting with all we perceive that is changing or going around us. And it is not necessarily an easy thing to do, but once you start to do it, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like flying, but you still are it's a very strange space to be in, but it's so wonderful. But it's not necessarily easy to hold it all the time. But the more it happens, the easier you go back into that. And maybe one day, you know, we'll all be in that all the time. But I don't know if I'm explaining right, because it's hard to explain feelings. But that's kind of what I've been sensing is maybe going on in that thing between expansion, constriction, love, fear, letting go, holding on, and form really being a wave and just riding the wave, but with an openness.
And, beautiful.
And there's my little part.
Thank you, Deborah.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about the wave, because we have evidence for something that the ancient people, or the sages, if you want to call it, have been saying, that we are all one. We are, our consciousness is, it's not in our head. It's a resonant wave. And we are all connected through these energy waves, through these frequency waves. And this is what we're struggling with right now, I feel, because there's this flow of what I call, it's like a pendulum, back and forth into one frequency and another. And this is that wave of energy that we're all experiencing. And
yes,
there's that, we could say the battle of the dark and the light if you want to, but it's really about the frequencies.
Absolutely.
Of love and the opposite, or despair and love, or grace and beauty and gratitude and compassion, as compared to the other, which is, you know, despair and jealousy and judgment. So this is that wave of energy that we're all part of. We're all experiencing it. And I think when we can come into an awakening or enlightenment and realize the amazing power that we have to affect things through our frequency, through our thought, through the love in our heart, then we are creating as co-creators. We all have this gift. And it's so powerful, but this is who we really, truly are.
So, as you say, frequencies. Now, we're at the top of the hour, so I think we need to play some tunes. Sounds like a good idea. Do we have some... Oh, this is quite a fun tune. I don't know why I call these tunes what I call them. I called this one Slippery Sheep. That's, I don't know why. But anyway, check this.
Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Beyond. And welcome back to Ever Beyond. Yes, indeed. Oh, it's very exciting here. We've got loads of back chat. This is the thing, right? One of the problems with healers and people who do healings and that sort of thing. Let me just adjust my microphone volume here. One of the issues is people who are heart-based are often running the second ray. This is the second ray soul that I was talking about in the last show as well. Essentially, those who are soul aligned are natural healers. You know, it's just a byproduct. That's why as we evolve, as every human evolves, it evolves through the shaman. It evolves through the healer phase. They become a healer, become a consultant, become an advisor, become a guide. All of these things are to do with giving. And, as Shari, spoke about in the break here, one of the big problems is, right, okay, you've got fantastic healers, givers, all these wonderful giving people, but then you You've got people who just think it's their place to be served and to take and to allow other people to serve them. I mean, here's the thing. In some people's mind, to allow somebody to serve you is a privilege that you should be pleased to have. Did you want to now speak about that, Sherry?
Well, I gave an example of my husband sitting and watching TV, and we live in a very small space. So he's about 6 feet from me watching two TVs simultaneously, and I'm trying to type a paper.
Two already.
Pardon?
Two already.
Two what?
Two televisions already.
Oh, yes. He has to watch two games, and it was before, you know, you had picture in picture. So I'm about 6 feet away from him trying to concentrate on, and I was writing my master's thesis and trying to concentrate on that. And he interrupts me and cause it's a commercial, right? He can talk. And he says, are you going to take a break soon? I could really do with a sandwich. And I just kind of blew a gasket. I said, you're watching TV. I'm working. Who do you think should make lunch? And I said, you get up and make your own, and while you're at it, make me lunch. Because I felt like if he really cared, he would see how busy I was trying to make our lives better by getting a degree so somebody would listen to what we were having, this business we were building and what we had to say. And he was in shock. He said, you really don't want to make my lunch? And I was, again, bowled over. Because he really felt that was his due. And I, right then, I divided the world into givers and takers. And I began to see the world in a different way, that people were taking and taking and taking whatever I had to offer and not helping me fill up my basket. And I wasn't able to fill up my basket because I gave everything away, including my couch, my clothes, my chairs, my chickens, whatever people said they liked. Okay, you can have it. And that was such a big lesson for me to begin to draw those boundaries. But it was a bigger lesson, and I'm still learning it, that people who are takers can't see what the giver's needs are, or they can't see what, I don't know the word. They can't see what the people they love really need. And is it my lesson to step back and teach them?
It's your lesson to be it. It's your lesson, Sherry, to be that love for you. We all, I think what JP said is true, you know, as a healer, as a giver, coming from that place, we have set up a very painful game for ourselves, a script that brings us a lot of disillusionment. And that is, oh no, no, it's okay, I can do it. Oh no, no, let me do it. And part of it is the love we have for others that we want to give to. And the other part is we assume that one day they're going to want to give to us too. And that will mean that that's the way it's supposed to be. But we have left ourselves out of the equation. We have not just automatically said, hey, I'm going to be working today. Would you mind picking up dinner, or would you mind taking care of this? We assume they're going to see, they're going to know, but we have created it. We have created this sense, or I can handle it. They can't handle it very well. I'll take care of it. And it's a place where when we left ourselves out waiting for our worthiness to be recognized, we were saying subliminally, I'm not worthy until it's recognized. So we have to do that. We claim that not I'm better than you, I deserve more than you, but I love me, I love you, and I love me. And therefore, I can ask for what I need, and I don't need a taker in my life. And I also don't need to be taken from and say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay.
Well, they certainly can throw a fit about it when you say it.
Because we helped create it. We helped agree to it. That's the problem.
I learned this in my own practice working with people because I'm in service. I believe that that's why I'm here, and I'm in service to help people. And when I came back from the sacred mountain of being with the Kogi and the Arawako people, I received a message about the takers and the givers, of course, and of course one being in service, and trying to help people, you know, being here to help people and to give everything that I've been given to help others who are needing help, and from the love in my heart and the compassion. And the message was that I need to find a balance, because there are takers who will always be takers until they find their way to actually be a giver as well. But for me, I needed to find a balance, because I had a few clients who, working with them over the years, and I came to realize that what's happening to me was that they suck your energy, if you want to say. They drain everything from you, and if you don't find a balance within yourself, that could be very serious. And so in one particular incident, this woman would constantly come back to me and repeat the same issue that she was having with her husband. And over and over and over again, I would give her solutions, I would support her, I would help her, I would, you know, do everything that I could possibly draw upon that I knew to help her. And she just would come back, you know, several weeks later with the same issue. Over and over and over again, this kept going on. So when I got the message that I needed to find a balance because the energy was being sucked from me, I told her one day that I've given you everything that I know, everything that I've been given to help others, and I realize that I'm unable to help you. And I'll pray for you, I will continue to pray for you, but I am really unable to help you. And so I really closed our connection that way, and she was furious. She got so angry. And yes, because her source of nourishment, or whatever you want to call it, energy, was gone now. So finding the balance, our balance, what feels right to us. And as a person being in service, I had to think about that. Well, isn't that my job? I'm here to be in service. I'm not to cut off people. But I had to come to realize that there are some people who, you know, whatever reason their karma is, or whatever reason they're here to learn, I need to really hold myself in a good balance so that I don't deplete myself. So that's what I discovered.
That's love of self.
Yes.
As I have a catchphrase, service is not slavery.
Exactly.
That's right.
And this is the whole difference between second-ray love and sixth-ray love. Second-ray love is, I'll love you, yes, but if you abuse me, I'll just say goodbye because I'm free. And I'm loving you because I want to love you, not because I have to, because my family makes me, because my business, et cetera, because any other outside thing is making me have to love you, but because I want to, because I always have, and that's because I am, and it makes me happy to do so.
What's the balance of loving somebody and...
It's the same,
Sorry. I've lost everybody.
Go ahead, Sherry. What's the difference? What's the balance between?
What's the balance between JP loving somebody and just deciding not to love him anymore, but somebody else then clinging to him and saying, you must, you know, who gets to make the decision?
You do.
Yes, you have to make the decision for what it feels like for you. I mean, it's a depletion. It's like having an expectation of a person that suddenly they're going to wake up and turn around and love me, or, you know, help me, or find out or figure out what I need. I have to take care of myself. I can't have this expectation of a person who doesn't have a concept of that. And then, of course, I have to figure out how much time do I want to spend with that person. Is that person, you know, weighing and balancing the, you know, what is on a scale from 1 to 10, what are the positives about this person in my life, and what are the negatives, you know? That's how I look at it. I still continue to love that woman. I do pray for her, but I could not any longer. I realized I could not help her, really, and she was really draining my energy.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that in terms of helping others, I've discovered this is just my way, but what I've discovered is when I'm working with someone and I am exhausted at the end, I'm drained, I know that there's a match here. There's some place that I have not seen in myself, and I am not clean. I'm not clear. And I have accepted something that's toxic, and I have to find it. And if that continues, of course I will remove it, because I know that when I'm aligned with my spirit, I'm filled. I finish a session with a client or a talk or whatever, I'm high. I'm filled. My spirit is flowing, and whether
That's
or not
right.
they agree with me, they may not agree with me, or I may be just seeding something for a future. It is alignment. When we're suffering, and I know this because I've had relationships where I kept saying, oh, I can do it. It's all right. I understand. I have compassion. I can do better. And then at the end, I'm depressed. I'm down. That my job is to not do that for anyone. It isn't. My job is to love so well that if I am present someplace, the love flows through me. And if it isn't, I have to go look at myself and see what kind of cockamamie idea do I have that I'm still staying in this situation and agreeing with the pain.
Yes, there's also the realization that there, like I said, that there are some people, perhaps it's their life's journey or the reason they're here, a lesson that they need to learn, of course, that they're not in this particular phase of healing, that there's more that they need to realize about the situation that they're in, and that might be part of it as well.
But you'll flow then. Your spirit will flow. Your wisdom will be true.
Absolutely.
You'll be offering that. Yeah.
No, so absolutely, yes. But when a person over and over keeps repeating the same problem and that energy, and you're realizing that they are stuck.
Yeah.
So you have to determine this process, for your own highest good and for their highest good.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you when I'm working with people. It is a high. It's a beautiful gift, and that's how it always should be. And I think let's look at just being in relationships with someone. We are all part of healing each other, whether we claim ourselves to be a healer or not. But if we are not on a high in a relationship, well, I think there's something wrong. There's something you have to take a look at, because I feel there should be that reciprocity of that joy and that beautiful feeling of being with that person.
Well, sometimes they're a mirror of what's undone in you, and that's their gift. I know for myself, and I've had a tumultuous relationship, then I know I have a lot of inner work. That person will bring up the things that I didn't even know I was still running, and it's my opportunity for healing. But when the wisdom that I'm gaining is not greater, and the love for self is not greater than the situation I'm in, then I have to leave.
And the petty tyrant, I call them, are our best teachers. Yeah. The pinches terrenitos, it's called.
I'm going to write that down.
We can all be petty tyrants. We can all be petty tyrants for each other, and we seek each other out. And that's kind of an interesting experience, But, yes, it's that mirror. That person that you spend that time with, that there's something about you, and that's why he's a teacher or she's a teacher. It's the petty tyrant, the one that pushes your buttons, that you fly around the room like a witch on a broom, frothing at the mouth. that's what I call it. Say, who was that masked woman? Who was that person? Just comes out of the blue. It's like, oh, my God, is that me? Something's going on, right? Oh, you're all laughing. I know you've all experienced
Oh, my
this,
God,
right?
That's so true. So true. I love
yes.
it.
Yes, thank the petty tyrant. Yes, it's an experience. I lived 8 years with a petty tyrant, if you want to hear this story. It's interesting because I fell in love with this man who was really my father. It's like I didn't even see it. He was so much like him, looked like him even as a young man, and his criticizing manner was very much like my father, which of course was very, it defeated me terribly. And of course I had this old, old stuff that I didn't even know was there. And what was old was the rage within me. I had no idea I had this rage, But being with this man brought it out because it was like being back with my dad. And of course that was unresolved and I didn't even know this. So he would be, he was like, well, he was a Gemini, so he could be a Jekyll and a Hyde. He was sweet and loving and wonderful. And then in a second, boom, he would shift into this person that was really nasty and criticizing and unkind. And when that happened, it was so unexpected that it was like I was a blow to me. It was like I was being punched in the stomach. And I would react with such rage that it stunned me. It was like I was frothing at the mouth, and I would become this person that I didn't even recognize. And this went on for literally, you know, about 6 or 7 years. And then I started in this healing program, and I started to identify this issue with my dad and so on. It came to a point where I healed this piece with my father. And one day we were having dinner, this man and I, and just a normal family dinner, sitting down talking. And I had cooked the meal, and we got up to clean up. And as we were standing in front of the stove, he looked at the stove. And, you know, when you're cooking, there's splatters and mess, right? And he looked at the stove and he said to me, very in a nasty way, "You're such a slob and a pig when you cook," like that. And I looked at him and I felt such inner peace. I felt this calmness, and I just looked at this person who it was almost like a very, it was the strangest, I was like in another zone. It was wonderful. And I said, I looked at the stove, I looked over at the stove, and I said, "You're right, I am such a sloppy cook. You should cook from now on." And he just started sputtering. He didn't know what to do because I wasn't playing the game. I was not in the dance with my petty tyrant. And so then he went to the next level. "Well, then if you're not going to cook, you should just pack your bags and leave." And I said, "You know, I might just do that." And I was very calm. I had shifted out of this old wound, this old place, and I became very centered and peaceful. I wasn't triggered anymore. My petty tyrant dance was done. And not long after that, I did move on. But I thanked this person, you know, I did, not physically, but I did realize it afterwards that he was a best teacher for me. He showed me something within myself that I needed to heal, that I needed to recognize. It was very powerful.
Relationship boot camp. Now, I want to take this a little way back. Thank you, Barbara, for that, because when I say that's an archetypal situation, there is something about this, and I would then take it further, right? Because this is about the relationship. This is about the Pleiadians, right? That raging creature that you found inside of yourself, this was the same creature that I felt through in my Lyran trauma show. Did you feel that?
Interesting. Oh, I'll tell you. I didn't know who this person was.
Mm, yeah, unrecognizable. And people say, "I recognize you from a past life." And you go, "No. Yeah, I couldn't be like that. I couldn't be a murderer."
What does this have to do with the Pleiadians? Because that's where I'm from.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, my story the other week, as it came out, I got in touch with a grief, like I was saying before, that I never knew I didn't have. And at first, you know, a few months ago, I went back and I you know, did a similar journey to you about the betrayal of being circumcised when I was a baby. And I felt this enormous rage. And it was, I don't know if anyone had ever seen Babylon 5 when Delenn says, "Kill them all, kill them." I had this, you know, murderous rage. You know, "I'm going to kill you all back. You know, this is the worst thing you could ever have done." I believe this feeling is what drove a small group to form a war council and regroup in the future in the Pleiades and come back and create a warrior Jedi force, if you like, that would then do certain operations, including the destruction of Maldek, which is, you know, that was a bit of a cock-up. But, you know, all of these things happen, and this is where we are today. So we've got all this stuff. But going back to what your trauma is, is this rage is what is the whole key to it. And whatever the story might happen, you know, whatever your father was like, whatever your boyfriends are like, and, you know, I'm going to say this to, you know, just everybody. Everybody has, you know, whether it's your ex-wife or your ex-husband or your previous, whatever it is, it's not about how bad they are. It's actually about how much rage we feel that they trigger in us. That's what it's really all about. And it's about this very, very ancient rage, that has become, you know, it's been, sublimated in a kind of, caring policeman style thing, but beneath it, there's rage.
Oh, and are so right.
You get me?
Wow. Because what you just said, murderous rage, because I remember a day that he was kneeling down doing something, I don't know, fiddling with some electrical something, and he was talking to me in a way that was very hurtful. And there was I was looking around, literally looking around for a knife, and I envisioned myself stabbing him, over and over and over again. I'm thinking, who is this person? What is going on? I felt this murderous rage. And it was like something that I didn't recognize. It was like frightening.
Okay.
And I realized how people can murder each other.
Crim passionnel.
It's like, there it is right there.
So
it's interesting.
So this is a very interesting thing. It's this rage that drove us to become super soldiers, to become just like the reptilians, to slash and burn and mince and grind. I keep going on about it, but it's something that we need to get in touch with. No matter how new agey and peace and love we all are, until we've gotten in contact with it, and then we go back to what it was before and who it was that was feeling that. And
there's another piece.
That's ourself. So, Barbara, what's the next piece?
There's another piece that comes to my mind is the persecution that I experienced in a past life, that I was burned at the stake, you know, for my beliefs and for who I was, you know, for my practices, just, you know, in that time of the Inquisition. And that is another that I've experienced, and some women that I work with, is a terrifying feeling that I will be discovered again. That I will be found out again, and that I will be persecuted again. And this seems to be a lot of what some women do experience in this lifetime. They've carried it through. And that sets up this pattern of not being able to step out or make movement and to become who they are really meant to be.
Okay, well, that's another Lyran story. And that's the Lyran story of hiding from the reptilians once they got here. And hoping that they're not going to find you out. Go ahead, Sherry.
Also, if you notice, both Sherry and JP are holding their hands up, and when I do readings or done readings and certain colors show up, it lets me know, no more abuse, the buck stops here. So it's a way of letting us know a boundary's been crossed, and perhaps we haven't been speaking our truth to that point, and we hit the rage, because we're like, no more. And wherever it's coming from, whether it's millennia ago or just yesterday, it's just an indicator to go, yes, we all have that in us, and no more. I do not consent, and we have to find our voice. And a lot of times when the rage comes up, it was there before, but we were suppressing it. And then all of a sudden, it's like the last straw, and you're like, no, and that hand goes up. So it can be a good thing.
It can.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Well, that's interesting you say that about the hand, because I do a process with the women. I have them sit, we're sitting in the circle, and I say, we're going to raise our left hand up first, and we're going to yell out, no, but really strongly, forcefully, right? And so they do it. And there's some of go, no, you know. I say, what?
They don't get it, right?
They don't get it. They're afraid, right? They don't have that. So the energy, so then after they get it really forcefully with the left hand, I said, now let's go to the right hand, and we do it again. So we're working with both sides of the spectrum,
good.
Right? It's very powerful. It's the energy.
Because then that frees it up, and you come more in your power, and you can love more, and you love yourself more, and then you won't get to that. And then after a while, things don't even trigger you. But I hated my inner bitch. Oh, my God, scared to death of her. But I'm really learning to like her. And as I like her, she gets less and less. I don't know.
Well, I tell you, it was like the most powerful part of my healing and in my early life there. And it was very, very significant. And I learned to love the petty tyrant and realize the petty tyrant is such a beautiful teacher.
And we can be petty tyrant too. We can be it too.
We're all petty tyrants. Absolutely.
We learned how to be imperial.
Push each other's, I had a friend, I was standing in her kitchen one day and we were talking and she looked out the window and her neighbor was walking down the road and she started carrying on about how she couldn't stand him, how frustrated she was with him and on and on and on. I'm looking at her, said, what's wrong? I said, you're not even near him. And she said, oh, he's a procrastinator. He says he's going to do something and he never finishes. He never completes. He drives me crazy. And I said, you're a procrastinator. I said, you're the same type of person. So she was really enraged at this poor guy walking down the street.
I think one point that you made, JP, in your wonderful, unfolding about the Lyran original sense of devastating trauma and separation from source. Why didn't I know? How could this be? But to look at it from a deeper order and know that we had ventured into separation to understand what it is to feel life, to experience life, and to be able to do that, you have to be able to separate and know what you haven't known, to go into places. So you experience the hard tyrant, the viciousness, and then you say, I will never let that happen again, and you take your rage and you learn to fight. And then you maybe follow that and hierarchies build and domination and control happens, and you go one day, this isn't the answer. This isn't going to take me where I want to go. But it comes from experience and the contrast of knowing what separation is and where it takes you, and that there are some things that we are bred to do for survival, but the survival is limited. There's a deeper order of survival, and that's what I think we're touching. And healing the grief, healing that horrific sense of shock that is the trauma, whatever the trauma is for everyone, that sense of, I had no idea. That, I mean, one of my favorite stories is walking down the street in New York City when I lived there with a dear friend who had served in Vietnam, and we were walking down the street and a car backfired and he hit the pavement. It was instantaneous. He knew nothing else. Sound, death. We have these places and we're having to face the grief. I went to that life in Lyra and I saw myself frozen in that moment. Millions of years ago, I'm frozen in that moment. And I just spent time with that part of me, helping that part know that it still lives and that it can come home into me. We all have these places and they reveal themselves when we know that we weren't ruined, that we went in every different way exploring possibilities, and in the end we come home and there is a deeper order of wholeness that allows us to know something new.
Right. Great. Because this is where it all comes back to.
Yes.
We were scattered, we've explored, and now here, even on this call, we're coming together. Because I would probably guarantee that each of us has taken the journey from Lyra in a slightly different direction. We've all learned different things. And because we're all telepathic, everything that any one of us learns, everyone learns. And you know, another part of the whole kind of reptilian human thing is like, the reptilians didn't know who we were either. They just thought we were food or something. And so they didn't realize what what they actually have taken on. You know, we can take on anything, and we took on the reptilians, and we've eaten them. They ate us. We've eaten them. We have absorbed them. We've absorbed their DNA. We now have part reptile in our body. It's called the spine, and mine is playing up right now. It's really hurting because it's needing to change. You know, all of our spines are changing. All of our inner reptile is coming under order, not new world order, but our internal source order. So fantastic news, Linda, that you were connecting back. This is one of the things that I've been doing in the last week. The people who have been coming on sessions, rather than dealing with like childhood stuff, I've been going straight back to Lyra. And then there's a couple of people in the chat room who might attest to this because they've had these sessions. And I took them to Lyra, and I asked them to, you know, there's somebody in front of you, you know, ask them their name, touch their hand, hold them, hug them, bring them into your life. This has had a marvelous effect on them. I haven't heard from them since because I'm presuming that they're all going, wow, what a fantastic life I'm living. Wow, I'm born again. So it's a really marvelous thing, and it's just a reconnection. Well, not just, it is a reconnection, and it's something we've been waiting for a very, very long time. And this is the time of the crossing. This is what we've all been waiting for. So we've got about 20 minutes. So, how about some, everybody, you know, let's look at how do we move forward? Where do we move forward, and what have we learned today?
I have a comment.
Please go ahead, Shari.
In listening to all of these women, I have decided how I am going to deal with these people in my life, and it takes back my own power. I'm simply going to say to them, when they become a tyrant, I didn't give you permission to speak to me that way.
Correct.
Great. Beautiful.
Very and nice. Just, very nice. Beautiful.
And then that's going to put up the wall to they either need to speak to me the way I need to be spoken to for myself, or they can go away. My mother always said that the person who cares the least controls the relationship. And by stepping back is really stepping up away from the relationship, looking down at the two people having it, and how can we equalize this? So I'm going to take that trip from now on. Thank you, guys.
Such wiser words have not been spoken. Thank you. Thank you. Brilliant. I just love you so much, Shari. I love you always, but it's like, oh, well, cause out of everybody, actually, Shari is the only person here in the call who I've actually physically met. We met, when was it? 21 years ago in Glastonbury in a place called Street, next door to Glastonbury. And, Shari was giving a conference, and I was a lecturer, and I was recording it. Things never change, do they? Anyhow, so brilliant. Where should we go? Let's go clockwise. Barbara.
Yes. Hello. Well, I exposed myself, my raging, flying around in the room on a broom with frothing at the mouth. but I often do tell that story in the circle with women. And they all can really identify with that deep, deep rage. It was so unexpected, but so significant and really important. And I just want to say that we are so divinely connected, energetically, frequency-wise, not only to each other through the sacred web, but through to the mother and into the cosmic web as well. And, you know, it's interesting because this is so important, this piece, to know this, that we are not separate. We are really all in relationship. And every movement that we make, every thought that we have, what we speak, how we speak, creates an energy. And what we do, of course, affects everything. And I just feel that we have such a power and a gift given to us. And I don't believe that it's hopeless. I do not at all. I feel a sense of great gratitude and hope in humanity. And being here today with each one of you, it's such a privilege, as I said, to know that we're all working to, you know, with the gifts that we've been given to help each other. And everyone really is a part of this. The listeners, we all have a gift given to us. And I believe that gift is the capacity to love unconditionally. And, yeah, thank you, JP, for inviting me. Thank you, Sherry and Deb and Linda.
Thanks so much, Barbara. I mean, it's just brilliant to bring everybody together and to take all these different perspectives, blend them. We all agree. We're on the same road. We're on the same train. Sometimes we're in the same carriage. It's great. We're all on the freedom train and we're all looking for the solutions. And I think we're getting closer and closer to the actual solutions. Linda.
Well, I feel privileged to be a part of this and to share such love and wisdom with great beings and an audience that's waking up, because I know that everybody that tunes in is looking for a greater perspective, a way of trusting that there's something magnificent that lives in the world and it is also touching them. We are always creators, whether we're creating our past or whether we're giving ourselves a new moment. We are always creating. That is the gift of our spirit to us. If we're breathing, we're creating. So I believe in the future. I believe in this moment I get a choice of what I'm going to focus on and what I'm going to believe about myself. And maybe I only have a few little packets of wonder in me that I say, wow, I'm so pleased with the way that is. And there's lots of things that I would still like to grow on. But they're my growing stuff. They're not my bad. They're not, oh, I'm so bad. They're just the things I haven't completely owned yet. So that's why we're here. We came to learn what we've never learned and to be able to go home with the idea that in this life, we had a great life. We had wonderful lives. We fought, we loved, we learned, we cried, and we celebrated the smallest little things to the greatest. And I think that's our gift, and I'm thrilled that we're sharing in all of our different ways to come to that end.
Deb.
Hey, thank you again for having me here, and thank you for all of you. Just beautiful souls. And I feel like someone told me a while back, it's little snow globes, like at Christmas, and it's like our snow is getting lighter and lighter, and through all the traumas and learning and dealing with each other, it does become lighter, and it doesn't mean we're not grounded. We're actually more grounded. And then we can bring that lightness through, and other people feel it when they're around you. I walk around and I don't know. I can only feel it, and then it comes back to you. And people are so grateful to even get a smile or to know they count, because when people are in trauma, their world becomes very narrow, like I said, and very constricted. And we all know that feeling, and it's a sad and scary place to be. So the more we can all lighten our little snow globe and do with this and not blame the other person, even though it'll feel like that at the moment, and like look at it and go, okay, I'm the one feeling this. I'm the one carrying it forward. What do I want to do with this? And how can I get back to that feeling of love? I may be crazy, but I really think love wins. And anytime I get in that space, no matter what's happening, especially when it's really bad, I lay still on my bed and I go to my heart and I try to expand it. And sometimes I'll even expand it for the person that I feel like I might want to kill. You know, just on a... Often I do. It used to be hard in the beginning. You know, it was really hard to visualize sending love from my heart to them when I just wanted to put my hands around their neck. But it gets easier and easier. And then after a while, I'm not saying I don't still have it. I've got a really good trigger in my life right now. But the beautiful thing is, he gets triggered too, but we keep coming back together, and each time it's shorter and shorter, and we meet this neutral ground. And it's so nice to have other people that are kind of on this page that will do it to help each other grow and get back into the expansiveness. And I'll stop now. But thank you all.
I can't remember who it was. I think it was Matt Kahn says, your twin flame, that's your ex. You know what I'm talking about. You know, exactly in that thing, you know, that's your ex. It's a boot camp. It's like training. And in a way, again, taking it back to the lyre and reptilian thing, the reptilians they were really good trainers. They have trained us to be discerning. They have shown us what deception, slyness, all those D words. they've taught us what the difference between good and evil is. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we have eaten of the tree of good and, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We have eaten it, and that has been a billion years, and yes, we died. And then we were born again, and we are all born again, and we're all coming together now. When I say coming together, we're bringing these different Lyran streams back together. Pleiadians and Lyrans and the reptilians, and we're all partying on, and there's going to be a kind of big fry up and a big filter. And at the end of it, what's going to end up is something that is bigger than both of them, that is going to be humble and not arrogant. It's going to be creative and not destructive. It's, you know, all of those great qualities, and exactly as you were saying, Barbara, 1,000 years of peace. I think I think maybe we can, you know, make 1,000 years turn into a billion years, 1,000 million years. That would be great. So, that was my little sum of that. And now we're going to have another round. Shari, some closing comments.
And out of all of that, we get to make decisions. And I think grandparents are very special people because they have learned to make all of these reality decisions that they can pass on. And so what I've learned on the planet, I've tried to share with not only my own family and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but that's why I share what I've learned and what I know with everybody. I feel like I am a cosmic grandmother, giving and sharing what I can, and making my own boundaries at the same time. So that's why we give away a lot of what we create here at the Institute, in hopes of making people's lives a little better and helping their reality decisions. So I hope everybody joins us for the 2-day course, and if not, it's on the 4th and 5th in the next week, and it's free. I hope you can join us, and if not, just go download the stuff and do it on your own and set up a business and become a teacher and make a difference.
But don't forget to acknowledge Shari Edwards, because she's the one. Soundhealthoptions.com. Barbara.
Thank you.
Yes. I was muted. I said I graduated the master course of the good and evil, eating of the good and evil. Hello? I just said, I don't know, I just wrote in the chat room just, you know, to open, just step forward through the doorway into the 1,000 years of peace, because it is present, it is now, you know, and it is really all about frequency. It is all about that love, unconditional love frequency and joy and gratitude. It is present, and the energy is present. It is flowing. That wave of energy is ever present, and to align with that wave of energy, to enter into it and become that, that's how we arrive through that portal.
Thank you, Barbara. Do you have a website?
No, I do not.
You have books, though. Can you get them on Amazon?
Do.
How do you search for them?
Through me. They can come through me. Yeah, they'd have to email me or Skype me.
How do they email you?
STARBEING, Star Being, at pronet, ISP.net.
Excellent. And, say that again.
And Barbara, go ahead.
Sorry.
It's Starbeing, Starbeing, at pronet, IS as in Sam, P.net.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Barbara, I think Colleen read at least one of your books, and it might be. I heard one of them. I think there might have been more.
Colleen read one, and Dolly read another one, yes.
I didn't hear that. They were great. So if people want to just listen to one, two.
Oh, that's true. Yes, thank you for that.
And then buy the rest. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yes, and they're in the archives, and for a very small subscription for a month, you can download as much as you like. It's, I tell you, it's so cheap and free here. You know, it's like
there were so many good things in those archives. Yeah, really amazing.
Including, I have to say, our interview with Billy Faye Woodard, the ambassador from the Hollow Earth, including Sani Sito, the reincarnated Roswell alien, including Dave Corso, there's a whole thing about super soldier. The word super soldier is, we need a new word. Anyway, long story. Including all of those people, including amazing, journeys, and, connections and, readings and books and all for $5. For free. I mean, that's almost free. It's almost free. Buying us a coffee, the price of a cup of Starbucks coffee, which is GMO and rubbish. Get something local. Anyway.
Colleen just reminded me, actually, that Colleen read two and Dolly read two. So, of my books are in the archives.
Big shout out to Colleen. I hope you're feeling a lot better. Surround Colleen in this warm healing blanket that is going to regenerate her body by the power of the Christ within. Thank you. Linda, some closing lyrics.
My heart is full when we come together because we're all remembering who we really are. There is no other. We are all of it. We are the reptilians. We are the Anunnaki. We are the 22 different races that genetically manipulated us. We are all of it, and we are more. We are so much more. And the spaciousness that we experience when we move into our heart and discover the innocent part of us, the part that wants to create, the part that wants to have an experience the way we did as a child, only now with the wisdom of our resources, the amazing resources that we have in our focus, in our intention, in our acceptance of possibility. Every time we come together on any level for empowerment, we're remembering we're all of it. And contrast is the way we learn. It's the way we learn. If it's this, if we're poor here, we have to know rich there. We have to know value, no value. We have to know exceptional and then not. We have to know that. That is how we come to the middle way, which is to know we're all of it. And that's my greatest desire for everyone, to know wherever they are, there's more, so much more of you.
Linda McCallum, thank you. Debrielle.
I love you all. Thank you.
A feeling. That's where it all comes to. It's all about the feelings. And, you know, all of the traumas that we get in our lives, all of these things, they all point us to the feelings. It's all about the feeling that you get at the end of a relationship. You know, all those, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7 days, years of relationships, and it's all about the last moment. That's what it's all about, and because we need to feel these things in order to heal it. You need to feel it before you can heal it.
Feel the love, it's coming your way.
And the thing is that we're like Swiss cheeses. We're always, and when we feel these things, which just take, I mean, it can be minutes, really, in my experience recently. It's been minutes between finding this thing, feeling it, and breathing through it, and it's all out in the breath and gone. And all that's left is love. It's just amazing. Yeah. That's the best bit, is that when you take all of this pain away, there's just nothing left but love. It's a great, huge, expansive, heart-pumping love. And that's the thing, you know, brothers and sisters, whatever you're going to do in the next few weeks, do what makes your heart beat. You know, even if it is a bit of, what is it, step up or bicycle or something like that. But, you know, do things that make your heart beat so you can feel your heart. If you put your palms together, you can feel your pulse. Focus on that. Tune into your heart, because the pulse of your life is the pulse of your heart. It's your frequency. When they say your frequency is ascending, you know, is the harmonic of the literal pulse rate that you're running, is that in tune with the earth? Is it running slowly or too fast? Are you going too fast for the earth? Are you going too slow? Tune in. Maybe you're highly strung. Slacken up a bit. Maybe you're too slack. You know, shape up. Form up. We all need to kind of, we're going to go through a kind of narrow gate where you have to be kind of spot on the beat. You know, we all have to be in the beat. And when you're all in the beat, we all step through together. Boom. That's how it works. That's like the old Tibetan, gradually lifting a rock off the ground by using rhythm and sound, creating huge low frequency sound waves. They know how to do it, you know. And I won't even go into that. But thank you so much, Debrielle, Shari, Linda, Barbara. It's been, gorgeous. It's been gorgeous.
Our privilege.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you so much.
It's been marvelous. This has been Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Stand by for the World Healers, and probably something is going to be, you know, carrying on from that. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Beyond.